Scripture reading for tonight's lesson is taken from Psalm 107. Psalm 107 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Once again, we are glad that you are here with us this evening as we continue our examination of the Psalms on Sunday nights as time does present itself. A few things I want to remind us about the Psalms is each Psalm is its own body of work. And so that means it does not necessarily follow what happened in the Psalm before it. It does not necessarily lead you into the next Psalm like chapter 1, 2, and 3 of a normal book. But we're reading Hebrew poetry, and Hebrew poetry would make a statement, kind of like building a bridge, and then they go back and say it, and go back and say it, until the author feels that he or she, here in the Psalm case, he has accomplished his goal. The title for tonight's Psalm, as Dad has just mentioned, is Rescue the Perishing, and that's also going to serve as our invitation Psalm. And we'll talk a lot about perishing here in this Psalm. There's an alternate title if you wanted to do so. You could also call it the Four Tragic Pictures of Sin. The Four Tragic Pictures of Sin. And that's kind of what we're going to look at here in the Psalm under examination night one. I guess just housekeeping piece of notes on the Psalm. If you notice your Bible above Psalm 107, it may say Book 5 or Book V, V being the Roman numeral for 5. When they originally had the Bible, before it became easily accessible, Psalms was in 5 books, or 5 volumes, because it was so large. And so we are starting the last section of the book of Psalms. So that's pretty remarkable, although there's a lot in this last section. We do sing a song, Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying. What are some ways that we could perish? Well, we could perish. We could be alone, lost in the wilderness. We could be chained up in a dark prison somewhere in a dungeon. We could have sickness and affliction. Or we could be tossed about on a stormy sea. And then you're rescued. And those are our 4 areas here in this psalm. But this psalm has an opening, the first 3 verses. We just read verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. These words are often repeated in the book of Psalms. And in fact, we're going to go back and repeat this verse a couple of times throughout the psalm, this particular one to help us better understand it. Verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Who are the redeemed? They're the ones that have had the price paid for their release. They've been rescued from the enemy. What's that price? That was Jesus Christ for us today. Verse 3 says, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and west and north and from the south. It makes me kind of think how all the Jews would gather in Jerusalem. And in the New Testament, all the saved are gathered into one church that Jesus Christ died for. With that, let's look at our 4 pictures of tragic pictures of sin. The first one is alone in the wilderness. Or what is it like to be lost in sin? Verses 4 through 9. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Verses 4 and 5, there is no specific mention of to which wilderness wandering, but we may think about Israel in the wilderness. We may think about Jacob fleeing his brother Esau, because Esau wanted to kill him. We may think about Moses when he was fleeing from Pharaoh. We may think about Hagar as she was cast out by Sarah. We don't know exactly which instance, but there are many that the Bible says have been cast out. When he's talking about Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Bible says, for they shall be filled, verse 5. For hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. In Jesus Christ, we don't have to be hungry. We don't have to be thirsty. Verses 6 and 7, They did the right thing because the Lord is our only hope. To Him, they made their appeal. They're not appealing to somebody else, but they appeal. They cried to the Lord in their time of trouble. What is this city of habitation? Well, it's the place where they're longing to go. Do we not sing a song, "There is a habitation, built by the living God for all of every nation who seek that grand abode. O Zion, lovely Zion, I long thy gates to see." They were looking for that home that they would no longer have to wander for. We are looking for that spiritual home where we can finally find rest. Verses 8 and 9 talk about the redeemed. Go back to verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. So that's a picture of being lost, alone in the wilderness. The next picture we see in verses 10 through 16 is picture in prison. Or what is it like to be captive to sin? Verse 10. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works for the children of men, for He had broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. We think about verses 10 and 11, and we think about prisons. You may have visited somebody in prison. You may have been in a prison. I don't know. But prisons in the Old Testament time especially were nothing like ours today. In fact, they were miserable. They were often filled with sewage and other stuff. I'm reminded of Samson. Samson in Judges chapter 16 and verse 21, the Bible says, "The Philistines took him, they put out his eyes, they brought him down to Gaza, and they bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." You remember the story. They literally put him in prison, they take his eyes out, and they bind him up. It's often been said that Samson knew the binding, the blinding, and the grinding of sin. Did you catch that? Samson knew the binding, the blinding, and the grinding of sin. That's what the psalmist here is talking about, how sin can put us in prison. Verses 10, more specifically 12, they're not innocent because it is their fault. They rebelled against the word of God. They were humbled. Their labor is their struggling under the load of sin. There is none to help, kind of like being alone in the wilderness. No one but God. Now we see verses 13 and 14. You may think of Joseph, Peter, Paul, and Silas crying out in their trouble. But here, they're trying to get free from sin. Verse 15 and 16, they are rescued. Go back to verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. So we could be lost in sin, but we can be saved through Christ. All right, our third picture now, verses 17 through 22. And this is picture of someone who is sick. Picture of someone who is beyond recovery. Or what do we mean when we sing the song, "Once from my poor sin-sick soul"? Verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Well, verse 17, fools, transgression, iniquity. These are people that we might say are afflicted with an illness. That would be the illness of sin. And this condition is brought on by themselves. Verse 18, they keep nothing down, so sick that you think you could die, basically. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They draw near to death. They can't keep anything down. They're not wanting to eat. We know we have to eat in order to stay alive. That's why we get worried when people stop eating. Imagine that, but relate it spiritually. Not want to take in any spiritual meat. They could be dying spiritually. Verses 19 and 20, they sent His word. They were healed. Notice, this is the medicine that we must take. They cried to the Lord. He saved them. He sent His word, healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. This is the medicine that we must take. If you go to the doctor and you have something wrong with you, you have an ear infection, and they say you have an ear infection, congratulations, and they hand you this bottle of pills, what's on the pill bottle? Instructions. And they tell you how many pills to take, how many times a day, for how many days. If you want to get well, you do what the instructions say, do you not? You don't take them all at once, and you don't throw them away. You do what the instructions say. Well, here it says God gave them His word. Those are the instructions. That's the medicine. We've also been given His word. We must follow what the bottle says, or we must do what the book says today. Now, verses 21, 22, they're rescued. Go back to verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Now let's talk about our last picture, and this is lost on a stormy sea, or a troubled sea. Verses 23 through 32. They that go down to the sea in ships, they that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep, for He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, and they go down again in the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm to calm, so that the waves thereof are sealed. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him as the assembly of the elders. Well, I'm kind of reminded here of the story of Jonah. Remember the story of Jonah, don't you? Basically, God said, I want you to go preach to Nineveh. He said, I don't like the people of Nineveh. They're wicked. They're sinful. So instead of going where he's supposed to, he went the complete opposite way. He boards a boat. The boat goes out. All of a sudden, stormy seas arise. They think they're going to lose it. He says, throw me over. He realizes what it is. They throw him over. A great fish or great whale comes up and swallows him, and the storm calms. But there for a minute, all those on the boat with Jonah thought they were going to lose their life, did they not? Until Jonah stepped up with an answer. You may think about Jesus on the Sea of Galilee, as we've been studying in Mark, where He said, peace be still. You may think of Paul's voyage to Rome there in the latter part of the book of Acts, this terrible journey that he went and suffered shipwreck and liked to have died, but he didn't. Many of our troubles in life are directly or indirectly related from sin. Now look at verses 23 through 27, a few things here. Can you imagine verse 26? The Bible says their soul melted. It's like it just almost went away for a minute. They were so afraid they didn't know what to do. They couldn't move. They couldn't speak. They couldn't act. Let me ask you this. Verse 27, it says they're at their wit's end. You ever use that phrase? I am at my wit's end with someone or something. Do you realize that's a biblical phrase? Most people use it, don't realize that one. Let's see, what else? One of the songs we sing, Master, the Tempest is Raging. We also sing sorrows like sea billows roll, when the storms of life are raging, when the world is tossing like a ship upon the sea. These are all songs in our songbooks. Why? In life, sometimes it's pictured as if we're in a boat. And sometimes the waters are calm, and sometimes they're not. In Acts chapter 27 and 20, when Paul is on his way to Rome, the Bible says, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. People that are out lost on the sea, they start to lose track of time, and sometimes they start to lose hope. Paul felt that way for a little bit. In Mark 4, 37 through 39, Jesus Christ on the Sea of Galilee, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full, and there was the hinder part of the ship asleep on the pillow. That's Jesus. And they woke Him up. And they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Look at verse 28. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble. He bringeth them out of their distresses. He makes the storm calm. Then they are glad because the storm is quiet. Verses 31 and 32, they have been rescued. Go back to verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Now here's where the psalm changes just a little bit. God is in control, but situations change. The proud and the mighty are brought low. The poor and the humble are raised up. And there are two cycles of this, verses 34 through 38 and 39 through 42. So we'll read those two now. Verse 33. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land to barrenness for wickedness of them that dwelleth therein. He turneth the wilderness into standing water and dry ground into water springs. And there He maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blessed them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffered not their cattle to decrease. Do you notice that great turn of events? The wicked were cast out, and the poor came in and started farming. Now let's watch it again. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth He the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop their mouth. Now, I just love that phrase. All iniquity shall stop their mouth. It's going to stop the wicked, and they're not going to prosper. Now, verse 43 sums it all up. Whoso is wise and will observe the things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Look for it. See it often repeated in the Bible. Use the Bible as to help us understand the ways of the Lord, and notice it ends the way it almost begins. Loving kindness of the Lord. Go back to verse 1 one more time. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. What's the invitation? If you're lost, if you're captive, if you're sick, or if you're troubled, like these four pictures, then cry out to the Lord in your trouble, and He will deliver you from that distress if you do what He's told you to do. How do you make that appeal? You have to obey the gospel. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. Sins washed away, come out of that water grave, a new creature, and then what? You remain faithful unto death. What happens if you stumble along the way? You come back, you repent, and you keep living faithful, no matter what the situation may be. Our invitation song is the title of the sermon, Rescue the Perishing. If we can help you in any way at all tonight, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.